get ready for an hour of fishing, hunting, and outdoor events from all over the great state of Alabama. It's time for Alabama's Great Days Outdoors. Join Alan White, founder of Great Days Outdoors magazine, along with co-host John Felsher and special guests as they bring you the latest weekly updates from the woods and the water. Alabama's Great Days Outdoors is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Conservation and Great Days Outdoors magazine. Now, here are Alan White and John Felsher.
Good morning, Alabama, and welcome to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors radio show. Right now, we got Don Green on, and we want to find out what's going on in the Delta with Delta Don himself.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Well, can't complain. The water's getting down. It's starting to clear up in the backs of those creeks and things, and it's some decent fishing out there if you want to get out there and do it. It will get better as far as your fair weather fishermen are concerned, but to me, that high water was a lot of fun. My son and I really got into some good fish, yeah. A lot of fish. When the water was 12 foot, and we had a ball out there.
Well, let's talk about fishing high water like that, Don. A lot of people think you just can't catch anything in high water, but, you know, there's some danger out there when you're boating, but if you can get to your fishing spot, you can still catch fish.
Yeah,
right?
That's the number one concern. When you get out in that high water, you got to be on your P's and Q's at all times. There's so much trash and logs in the water, and it's very dangerous. But if you watch what you're doing, you get to those areas. You know, the lower delta is the prime area when the water's high like that. These fish, most people think that bass and other fish on the delta are homebodies and they stay in the same area. That is completely false. When that water comes up and the rivers really get swift and the water is coming into the backwater, they all go that way. They will travel a long way to find food. They know the food's going to be everywhere, and they go after it. And you get in those bays sometimes. Now, a good example is Jonathan and I went the week before last, that when the water was about 12 feet. We went to Grand Bay because I've did real good in Grand Bay in the past. And we started fishing on the lower end and fished the length of the bay, believe it or not. We were doing going at a pretty good clip. We fished 5 hours. We didn't get a bump for 3 hours. In the last 2 hours, we caught 40 fish or better, you know.
Well,
when you find them, they're in a school. Most people don't realize bass live in schools all their life. The bigger bass gets, the smaller the school, of course. But they always together. And you find a big school of fish feeding like that, you can have a ball.
What,
and
one fish?
It's nip and tuck, you might say. It's either feast or famine. When you find them, you tear them up. If you don't find them, you don't do nothing, you know.
If there's something around a spot that one bass likes, they're all going to like it.
That's exactly right. And they will mill around. Now take the Grand Bay, for instance. It's a crab bay. It's full of small crabs. They feed on those crabs out in that bay during the normal times when the water's not high. As soon as that water comes up, they go after those crawfish. Our bigger bass that we caught the other day, every one of them looked like they were almost ready to spawn. They were so full of crawfish. I mean, they just gorge on them things during that high water. And as that water starts going down, you can catch them like that, and every one of them will have big bellies on them.
You know what? The crabs have a little bit of blue on their claws.
That's exactly right.
So a lure with a little bit of blue, like a black and blue craw worm or something like that, that's why they like that blue color.
Well, about our first 15 or 20 fish we caught that day was caught on a bruiser salad, which has the blue on it.
That's right. They were looking for those crabs.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where you got to be experienced in those areas enough to know what the fish mainly feed on, and then you got to use things that mimic what their main bait is.
What
is this going to be a good weekend for catfishing, Don?
Okay, it will be good off the main rivers. We'll have a nip tide. I think it's Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday and Monday. I believe it's Saturday and Sunday we're going to have a nip tide,
right,
which that does not affect those catfish, especially limb lines or jug fishing. That's noodle fishing, jug noodle fishing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of fishing is good, but my favorite way of doing that for fishing for catfish is find those smaller creeks that have fairly good depth to them.
Mm-hmm.
Go along and on the inside of a curve where you got your deepest water, look for treetops, fairly dense treetops or whatever, just any kind of bushes or anything in the water to hold that old big catfish. And you take a good size bass shiner, or if you can catch some shad with a net, fine, you know, anything, but you got to keep them alive. And you fish that thing about 4 feet deep around those treetops, all around it, and give it a good amount of time to draw that old big catfish out, because they are very lethargic in the summer and the winter, and it's summertime now. And you draw him out, and first thing you know, you'll see that cork just jump, and it won't even move to start with, and then it just ease right on down. You got him then. You better hold on.
So the inside of bends in the river or the outside is better?
The inside.
Okay.
Or in other words, the curve itself, not the bar across.
Okay, but, yeah, because that's where the deep water is.
That's where the deep water is. They'll be in a treetop or something right up mm-hmm. under the bank, right on okay. the bank. Some of them will be up under the bank if they can get up under it. But they're still in that area. You know, it ain't been that long since they spawned. Some of them have just spawned, really. Mm-hmm. But they're still hanging in those areas feeding on those small fish.
Well, that sounds good, like something to do this weekend, even though the water might not be back down to normal. You can still catch fish, like you said.
Trey George and I are going this afternoon and try them out. We hopeful that they'll still be in those areas they were the week before last.
Well, good all luck, right. man, and thank you for the report, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's find out what's happening on the pier and on the shore down there at Gulf Shores with David Thornton. So, David, what's going on down there at the beach?
Oh, it's really hot and calm and a few thunderstorms around.
Are you catching any big fish out there in the pier? Any tarpon, king mackerel, that kind of thing?
Yeah, there's been a few tarpon hung, you know, a lot more seen, especially during the calm periods. But the Jack Crevel have been making pretty much regular go-bys, and, you know, the same way it's been for the past week or week and a half. And occasional bull red runs and some king mackerel mixed in. Mainly during the periods when the wind does blow, or early in the day and late in the evening.
You know, the Jack Crevel is a heck of a fighting fish, and they're not all that good to eat. But once you hang one on there, you got a heck of a fight on your hands.
Yeah, you're going to be there a while, John. That's for sure.
Well, what's going on the beach with the trout and the flounder and that kind of thing?
Well, trout have been pretty good. You know, we had a lot of rain associated with Tropical Storm Cindy, and that pushed a lot of fresh water down to the coast. And so the inshore waters are still fairly brackish, and a lot of trout went out onto the Gulf beaches to spawn this year. And places like Dauphin Island, Fort Morgan, even into Gulf Shores and Orange Beach have been really productive, throwing plugs mainly. You know, for the trout, people wade fishing are having real good success.
What are they throwing in particular? Are they throwing live baits, artificial, or what?
Yeah, mostly artificial. That way you can cover more water. During the calm periods or cloudy days, top waters are very effective. Things like the skitter walk and the top dog from mirror lures like that work pretty well for top water. Bone color mostly, and some of the darker colors on the cloudy days give a nice contrast, you know.
Well, this is a good time to catch pompano too, isn't it?
There have been some good pompano catches. That's kind of hit or miss in the middle of the summer. They can be, you know, on a spot pretty good, but because it's calm, they're not necessarily feeding in the same locations every day. They cruise up and down the shore or just off the shore out on the sandbar looking for, like, sand fleas and stuff like that that they can feed on.
I like to feed on pompano.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that anytime. Yes, sir.
All right, David. Well, everybody else can hear you, or not hear you, but everybody else could read your column in Great Days Outdoors magazine each month on talking all about the pier and shore fishing. So thank you for the report.
Glad to. And they can also catch us on GulfShoresPierFishing.com. We do a lot of question and answer there as well.
All right. Thank you, David.
Okay, John. Thanks.
All right. Well, let's check in with Mike Thompson now, see what's going on in the Upper Mobile Bay. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Alan and John. I wish the water was doing as fine.
Yeah, me too.
we got water problems. We got, you know, high water, and we've got muddy water. But the rivers are starting to drop pretty rapidly now, so there's light at the end of the tunnel. About the only thing reliable right now up on the upper part of the bay is the redfish and the puppy drum. They're catching a few redfish and drum in North Pass. They're catching a few redfish and sheephead along the eastern shore of Pylons. If you're fortunate enough to have a light on your pier along the eastern shore, they've been doing good at night on the white trout and the specks. They're catching them. If they got live shrimp, obviously that'd be the bait to use. But if you don't have live shrimp, you want to use a clear grub with silver glitter in it, and so it can get that sparkle going as you work it. And you want to put like about an eighth-ounce jig head on, and you want to cast out in the shadows, out past where the light is, because those fish will be lurking in the shadows. So you should still catch a few fish at night, even though the water conditions aren't the greatest.
How is the bait supply on the causeway?
There's almost none. I talked to the Scott brothers this morning. They haven't been out. They've been checking with other shrimpers, and the ones that are getting any bait are having to go way south. They're having to go almost to Dauphin Island to find any shrimp, which normally they don't have to go anywhere near that far south. And they are catching some. The folks at Deer River should have some shrimp. And the Scott brothers are going to try to go out tomorrow and locate some. But it's real hard to get them right now.
All that fresh water pushed everything down toward the Gulf.
It really pushed them out. I mean, now, in Theodore Canal, they're still catching a lot of mangrove snapper. They're catching a few sheephead around the structures. The specks are hit and miss, the same way with the redfish. But you know there's some salty water in there because there's been several people complaining about losing their tackle to jack or valve that had moved in there.
Well, that deep water could hold that salt down near the bottom.
Exactly. And, you know, those fish know it, and they're in there taking advantage of it. And, you know, normally this time of year we don't have muddy water like this. But Theodore Canal has always been a great place to fish for big trout during the month of July around the big Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the third weekend of July. And a lot of those big fish that are caught in there are caught on big live baits, and they're caught at night. You know, there's a lot of lights in Theodore with all that industry in there, and that light attracts bait, and that bait attracts fish. So if you got some plans on fishing the Deep Sea Rodeo, and you want to get in on that speckled trout bite, that's a good place to catch a whopper.
I would imagine that fresh water is pushing all the crabs down toward Dauphin Island and toward the beach as well, huh?
Yeah, it's incredible, you know, what's going on down there. I got another report the other day from some folks that went down, and they were able to scoop up all the crabs they wanted along the beach. You have to walk along, and all of a sudden you'll come up to, you know, I don't know if it's crabs running schools, but let's just say a big herd of them will be working along the bank.
There's a whole flock of them out there.
That's right. Well, one time we were fishing and we were knocking these fish in the head, and, you know, you just happened to be sitting on the spot, and everybody else was on the outside looking, and then finally this old timer leaned over and he said, "Man, y'all must be sitting on a whole nest of them." So maybe it's the nestes of those crabs along the beach.
I have heard some good reports from Dauphin Island on the crabs and some really big, nice crabbing going on down there. So That's a little bit of a drive for some of us, but it might be worth it for a cooler full of those big blue crabs.
I tell you what, if you have to go and buy them, you'll start figuring out gas and your mileage.
You're right,
and, you
about
know, maybe
that.
It might be worth it to go.
That's right, man. Hey, you're going to be at the Liars contest next Thursday night on Duff?
You know, I'm talking with it. If my folks want me to get in, I'll get in.
All right. Yeah. Well, I hope to see you there, bud.
You know they don't allow professionals, right, Mike?
Well, they're kind of giving me the hint. You know, I'll back off.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll be right back after this with more fishing forecasts for your weekend. You're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show.
Buy at Brooks.com. Brooks Chevrolet in Thomasville. Save 17% below MSRP on select Chevrolet Silverado LT, Traverse LT, and Equinox. Not one, but 22 of these select vehicles while supplies last. 17% below MSRP. Here's a new 2017 Chevy Silverado LT Crew Cab. Buy it for $36,213 plus tax, title, and fees. Find new roads. Visit our virtual showroom 24/7. Bring home a new Silverado at Brooks Chevrolet on Highway 43 North in Thomasville. And remember, when you buy at Brooks.com.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure. Whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains, you'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
It's time for the 84th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. July 21st through the 23rd, anglers will be competing for $400,000 worth of cash and prizes, with live music and free parking all weekend. The festivities kick off with the Liars Contest Thursday with music by the West Loper Band. Tickets are available at Academy Sports, Howell & Associates, Quince Hardware, Southern Bama, Tackle This, Shoot That, and J&M Tackle in Orange Beach. For information, visit ADSFR.com and be a part of history at the 84th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, July 21st. Welcome back to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors with Alan White and John Felsher, brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Once again, here are John and Alan.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Alan White along with John Felsher, and our next fishing forecast comes from the inshore side of things with Captain Bobby Abascado. How you doing, Bobby?
Good morning, Big Al. Johnny, how are you guys?
We're doing good, super, man. How's the fishing out there in the salt water? You know, we've been having high water for a long time, and I don't know if it's affected anything down there or not.
We have salt water around here?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a good I keep up with the there's a couple of the different buoys you can read, or the buoy stations you can read, and we're actually are getting finally starting to get some salt water. I've been having to go, you know, down to the west of the Dolphin Island Bridge and then around onto the Gulf side to get into any kind of decent salinity earlier in the week. But as this week's gone by, that saltwater line, it gets noticeably further back to the east every day. And then I was looking at the buoy station down there, that one of them reads salinity. If you keep up with those kind of techno nerd type things like I like to do. But anyway, I was reading it, and, you know, normally we'd be in the 20 to even as high as 25 parts per thousand at the mouth of the bay this time of year. When we had that event, what, the last week or two, it had gotten down a couple times then in the 3-4 parts per thousand, which is, that's really, really, obviously really fresh. And I looked at it today, and it was back up to about 14 at the mouth of the bay. So it's happening. There's you know, we're on this big tide behind the moon, and that's bringing in some salt water. And then every time it changes, it's moving more of that fresh water out. So, you know, the good news is it's getting better every day. But even with that, through the week, and just, man, I've had some incredible trips. There's kind of been a line. I guess it's the bait kind of moving along with that salinity, but there's been kind of a line of bait moving from west to east in the sound. And we were running from point A to point B the other day, and I ran through five different bird schools where birds were diving on shrimp. And, of course, there was trout underneath them. And the other day, this was kind of neat. We were fishing with popping corks, and we were on a nice trout bite. And the guy popped a cork, and when his line stripped across the water, it flipped four shrimp up in the air. So that'll tell you there's a pretty good line of bait moving down, you know.
Well, that fresh water,
fish are right along with it, you know.
Yeah, that fresh water probably concentrated them down there. Huh?
That's exactly what it does. That's what it feels like to me, is like there's a
line. Which means all the fish are down there.
Yeah, where they're just kind of concentrated, and you know, and that line's kind of moving further to the east, but they're really balled up along the edges of that, you know. So, you know, with the Young Anglers Tournament this weekend, that's kind of one of the things I'd keep an eye on. I think if I was going to go and try and catch some trout, I think I'd focus west of the Dolphin Island Bridge, particularly on the, you know, southern, south of the Intercoastal Waterway. There's just loads of fish down there, not just trout, but there's a lot of different species that are all, you know, right on the edge of that bait too, you know, feeding on the pogies. There's mackerel, and there's ladyfish and cavalia. We caught a giant bull red yesterday, you know, so there's just all kinds of stuff mixed in. And that's what happens when you get a big bait concentration, is you get all of that stuff feeding on them.
Have you seen any triple tail?
Man, I have seen one triple tail this entire year. And the other day we were running, one of the days we were running in, and I was coming back through the sound from the west end of Dolphin Island back to Bala Battery, which is a big expanse, just about 10 miles of open water, mirror slick calm. I bet I passed six floating logs, and dude, I would have lost any bet you made that I would have seen at least one
yeah.
on a normal year, and there was not one single triple tail under
really?
Any of those. So,
wow.
Long answer to your question, I'm not having a stellar blackfish year this year. I hope somebody's catching them, but it's sure not me. I'm not threatening the population. I can promise you that.
There does seem to be fewer triple tail posted on our Facebook pages this year than there was last year. Last year it was every day.
Yeah, and I, you know, I don't know enough about those to really know for sure. But I would think that when you get fresh water pushed down like that, that's got to move those, because those
yeah.
fish show up in the bay in the higher salinity.
They like really salty water.
Yeah. Yeah, and so when you get this fresh water, that's got to push them out. You know what I'm saying? But even we ran did a lap all the way around the island the other day, even around on the Gulf side. And, man, I was looking under crab trap buoys and everything on the Gulf side and didn't see any out there either. So I don't know, man. I guess I'm not the guy to talk to. Yeah, that's probably the fish I struggle with only a little bit less than flounder.
Well, we know you're the flounder king.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, we're in trouble if I'm the king, Johnny. I can tell you that.
All right, Bobby. Man, you stay safe out there, buddy.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's check in with Joe Dunn on Miller's Ferry, see what's going on up there. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
Well, what's the water like, man?
Everything's getting about normal, finally.
Good.
It's still a little bit cloudy, but it ain't running quite as fast. They done slowed it down some. I think most of the floodgates are shut, but they're still running it around the clock. They're not shutting it off any quite yet.
Last week you told us to stay out of the main river and get in the creeks and stuff to catch those crappie. I saw some really good catches posted on our Facebook page this week of crappie.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's basically what they're doing, but it's starting to move out in the river. We got to go a little bit earlier this week, and we was keying it, well, the bass. Anyway, we keyed in some on the bass, and they was mostly on wood out in the edge of the river, so that tells me, you know, the crappie's going to be along those ledges some places out in the river, too, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's starting to go that way. Hopefully, if we don't get any more rain, they'll go to cutting it off, and we'll go into that summertime pattern here pretty soon.
Those catfish still can be caught on the flats?
Somewhat. I think more it's going to be, you know, like I said, with the water done fell out, you're probably going to have to get out in the edge of the river or get a flat that's got a good channel running through it. It ain't quite time yet to drop those longer lines, but it's getting real close.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the edges, those flats right now is probably going to be your better bet, because we notice there's still a lot more shad still up in the sloughs right now, but they're starting to ease their way out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hopefully, you know, like I said, if we maintain, just don't get any more rain and give it just, you know, by this weekend it should be done slowed on up real good, and hopefully they'll go to cut it off, and you can, you know, it'll get things more concentrated. Like I said, we noticed with a lot of the shad, it was still some up in there, and, you know, the bass were kind of scattered too. So We caught some, you know, crankbaiting, some flipping wood up on the places that have current coming through it. And your crappies should be, like I said, they ought to be right on out, on the, getting on the edge of that ledge right now, too.
You getting any reports of brim?
Yeah, now we did see, we run into a couple of willow fly hatches.
Good.
And, yeah, they was concentrated pretty thick up under those when we come by there. And I went and shook a couple of limbs, and there was a whole bunch of them come up under one of them. It looked like some pretty nice brim, too.
When you see one of those fly hatches like that, it's like a swarm of piranhas underneath that bush.
Oh, yeah, and not only that, you're liable to catch a catfish. It ain't no tell. There's going to be bass hanging around there chasing the brim that's chasing the willow fly.
That's exactly so right.
You never know what you'll catch around those things.
They certainly do tend to concentrate the fish in an area when just one big old bush is just full of willow flies. Those things fall in the water, and it just provides a lot of protein for the fish, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody wants to know about catfish jugging. They could read about this guy named Joe Dunn talking about longline catfishing in the July issue of Great Days Outdoors magazine. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty good article. I like that.
And one of my favorite writers wrote that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. He's going to get his own autograph one day. Well, Joe, I appreciate the report, man, and you stay safe out there on the water, and have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, y'all too.
All right, John, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to be back with Mr. Darryl Bell. He is our writer for our wildlife management column every month in the magazine. And we'll be right back right after these messages from our sponsors at Alabama's Great Days Outdoors.
Great Days Outdoors magazine is Alabama's leader in hunting and fishing information. Each month, you'll see a variety of articles from small game to big game, hunting and fishing. They even have game and fish recipes each month. Learn the latest tactics for hunting and fishing. From polywogs to gator trout, they've covered your outdoors for almost 20 years, specializing in how-to articles written by the best Alabama writers. Whatever your game, include Great Days Outdoors in your strategy. Subscribe online at greatdaysoutdoors.com and visit them on Facebook.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
It's time for the 84th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. July 21st through the 23rd, anglers will be competing for $400,000 worth of cash and prizes, with live music and free parking all weekend. The festivities kick off with the Liars Contest Thursday with music by the West Loper Band. Tickets are available at Academy Sports, Howell & Associates, Quince Hardware, Southern Bama, Tackle This, Shoot That, and J&M Tackle in Orange Beach. For information, visit ADSFR.com and be a part of history at the 84th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, July 21st.
Hi, this is Shaw Grigsby, and you're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio.
And welcome back to the show, and thanks for listening. I'm Alan White, along with John Felcher. Our special guest today is Darryl Bell. He writes a column for us in the magazine, Great Days Outdoors, every month about wildlife management. And I ask Darryl to come on every month and just remind us what we need to be doing on our land, on our hunting land, to improve things for habitat every month. And glad to have you on again, Darryl. Thank you for being here.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing good. You know, it's July. It's hot. A lot of people are staying inside in the air conditioning, away from the mosquitoes. But some of us are pretty excited about this month, because I really think this month is an excellent time to start killing those weeds and unwanted grasses. It works out for me to do that in July because they're actively growing, and that's when you want to spray those things.
Yeah, you know, I normally, you know, starting in August, depending on, you know, if it's a field that already has a stand in it, I'll start July and August. It really just depends on the situation. But, yeah, now is a great time to get on top of them so that when you're getting ready to plant, they're not out of control.
Yeah, and that really improves your fall food plots if you plan early, do it July and August, and you know, wipe out those weeds and get the ground ready for some seeds later on. Also in July, and this is just my personal preference, is I like to plant my chufas in July.
Yeah, chufas, it's a great time to plant chufas right now. Chufas need about a 100-day growing season to really produce a productive stand. And if you want those, you know, those chufas available to those turkeys, you know, when they need them the most, which is winter and early spring, then you definitely want to get them in now so they can get, you know, they have time to mature before it gets cold, and those turkeys will have access to that, to those rhizomes and that root system during that tough part of the year.
Absolutely. And we talk about, I don't know, let's talk about some other ideas you may have for July activities for wildlife managers.
Well, it's hot, so obviously it's a little too hot to be doing any burning, and there's not a whole lot of food plot stuff going on aside from the chufas and maybe doing some spraying. I'm actually prepping some bedding areas to be burned next spring. That's actually my project for this month. Mm-hmm. We've got a bedding area that used to be an old clear cut in the middle of one of our ag fields,
mm-hmm.
and it's about chest high and early succession and some broom sedge and things like that, but it's slam full of cedar trees. So what we're doing is we're actually going in now and cutting down all the cedars, laying them down so that they have time to dry out through the rest of the year and over the wintertime, so that when we burn them next spring, the fire will help clean some of those cedar skeletons up, aside from cutting them right before we burned it and then trying to burn a green cedar tree. So that's kind of my project right now.
Now, I've heard that a lot of the lands around here with the sandy soils and stuff are very acidic, so you got to watch your pH on these, and you're writing about that in a magazine coming up in next month, how to deal with pH. Kind of explain that a little bit to us about why pH is important, and what do you do about it?
Well, it's definitely important to monitor your pH. I recommend taking soil samples every year. I take mine every winter, you know, right about the time deer season's going out, late January, early February. I'll take my soil samples, and that'll give me enough time to get them back and make any amendments I need to make before we get ready to plant, you know, in May and early June, depending on what I'm putting in. It's definitely important to monitor them if your pH is getting out of whack, whether it be too high or too low. The plants aren't going to be able to utilize any of the nutrients you're putting out or what's in the soil already. So it's definitely important to monitor it once a year and stay on top of it so you don't have to make any huge changes, like bringing in any big lime trucks and things like that. So I stay on top of mine at least once a year. I'm pulling samples on everything.
Also, I wanted to mention to you, you know, earlier, a couple of months ago, I guess it was, I had a real skinny power line. I wanted to get some recommendations on what to plant in that low light kind of conditions. And you recommended buckwheat. I want to tell you, this buckwheat did really well for me in those power lines. They're already, you know, a foot and a half tall. They're seeding out now. And the main reason people want to plant buckwheat is it builds the soil, right?
It is. It's a great soil builder. Deer love it, too. They'll browse on it also, but it, you know, it gives you the best of both worlds. It's a great soil builder. It builds great organic matter, especially if you don't disc it under, but the deer will also browse on it, too. So it gives you a food source, and it helps you prepare for the, you know, for the fall, mm-hmm. so you can follow your fall crop with it.
Now, I'm going to come back over that buckwheat in the fall with some clover and mixed with some wheat or oats or something like that. What do you recommend?
So definitely some annual clovers, and I would even mix some perennial clovers in there. You're not going to get a whole lot of growth out of your perennial clovers the first fall. You'll really see them. I normally see my clovers starting to pop up when we start getting the first couple of warm days at the end of February or so. Mm-hmm. They'll start popping up. But the big thing is the wheat. I love putting in wheat on just about every one of my fall food plots. But where I think people mess up with wheat, you can get wheat pretty cheap. I mean, you can buy a 50-gallon drum of wheat for $50 sometimes. But a lot of the time it isn't a high-quality wheat. It's a wheat with an ohm on it. And if you spend a little bit of extra money, Eagle Seed has a monster wheat that is ohmless, which means it doesn't get that long fibrous hair on the seed head.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you go with an ohmless wheat like that, you're actually going to be providing your whitetails with food, you know, during that March, April time frame before you put in your summer plot. They will actually hammer those wheat heads. But if you go with a cheaper wheat with an ohm on it, they actually won't hit them at all. So making, you know, just putting in a little extra money and planting an ohmless wheat will go a long way for providing for your deer next spring when that clover starts sprouting, you'll have that weed up. So, and it's also great bugging habitat for your turkeys as well.
This armless wheat seed you're talking about, what's the difference in a price of the regular wheat seed and this armless wheat seed, let's say, for a 50-pound bag?
I can get a 50-pound bag of, for Eagle Seed, for example, a 50-pound bag of the monster wheat from Eagle Seed is going to run you about $35 or so for mm-hmm. a 50-pound bag.
Okay.
So you're going to be about $60 to $70 an acre planting your wheat that way. I mean, it is more expensive, but you're talking about the benefit from planting a wheat with an ulm on it, a cheaper wheat now, and the whitetails benefit from it in the fall, but once that goes to seed head and gets fibrous, you're no longer benefiting your whitetails. But if you go with that more expensive ulmless wheat, then you're feeding them in the fall because they're definitely going to hit that, you know, that early germinating wheat. But then again, in the fall, when your clover's starting to sprout in your wheat, your perennial clovers and your arrowleafs and your crimsons are doing great, you also have a standing wheat stalk with an ulmless wheat head on it that the whitetails are going to hit too. So, you know, you kind of got to weigh the pros and the cons. You know, it may be more expensive, but you're going to get twice the benefits out of an ulmless wheat than you are wheat with an ulm on it.
What happens to that ulmless wheat in the springtime?
It goes. Oh, the ulmless wheat. It goes to seed head just like a regular wheat head.
It'd be good for turkeys.
Go ahead.
It would be good for turkeys in the spring.
Yeah. Your turkeys are going to bug in it. You're going to have clovers under that, mm-hmm. you know, in the understory of that wheat. So it's going to be great bugging habitat, salting habitat. But it's also going to feed your whitetails too, like we talked about. Where, you know, you can have your clovers in there, and the whitetails will be in there in the clover, and the turkeys will be in there in it, but you won't be providing them, you know, as much food as you would if you had an ulmless wheat mixed in there.
Yeah, I think it might be worth the investment then.
Well, we all have
definitely.
To help the ulmless.
I mean, go ahead.
We all have to help the ulmless, don't we?
That's right. Yeah, and I actually have some trail camera footage of some deer just hammering those wheat heads and the ryegrass. I mean, ryegrass has an ulm on it as well. They don't like ryegrass or, you know, an annual cereal rye. They don't really hit those wheat heads. And I'll mix some annual rye into some cereal grain rye into my wheat as well, just to kind of build some organic matter and put a little more organic matter in the soil for planting next spring. And it's crazy the difference. They will not touch a seed head from rye, but they'll hammer those almost wheat heads.
Well, we're about 2 months from dove season. What can you tell the dove hunters out there?
I don't do a whole lot of dove hunting myself, but I mean, millet, Sudan, your sunflowers, all that, you know, if you got that in, it's definitely going to pay off. I mean, they're definitely going to be in there. We have some sunflowers standing, some 4 or 5 foot sunflowers, out some Sudan and some millet in it, so it should produce a good dove field this year. You know, the best dove shoot I ever had, believe it or not, was in a hemp field. Was in a field that we planted in hemp, and it went to seed, and the seeds dropped, and it was almost like walking on marbles. But it was, for the dove were all over it. I mean, that was the best dove shoot I ever had. So that may be something somebody could think about planting next year.
The doves like that hemp, huh?
Yeah. I mean, anything that produces those big seed heads on the milo, the hemp, sunflowers, millet, you know, anything like that, they're gonna love it. But that is the best dove shoot I've ever had in the hemp field.
Now, if you planted brown top millet in July, it's still going to have time to seed up and make. It'll just be a little late for dove season opener, right?
You just won't have as high of a producing stand as you would if you planted it earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that's the same thing, you know, the same thing with planting your chufas. You can plant your chufas, you know, later if you wanted to. You can go into August with it. It's just not going to have as a productive stand as if you planted it and gave it a 100-day growing season.
I got you. I understand.
Well, you can get some good late-season dove hunting. I like late-season dove hunting. Most people don't even hunt after the September season, but October, November, December, you can get some good dove shoots.
Yeah, and personally, I'm not – once deer season gets cranked up, I pretty much forget about everything.
A lot of people like that.
Yeah. So, we definitely plan it. And that comes back, you know, if you're managing your property, however big it is, you don't need to concentrate on managing it just for, you know, just for one particular game species that you're planning on hunting. I mean, I'm not a huge turkey hunter. I'm not a huge bird hunter at all, whether it's dove or turkey or duck or any of it, but I still plant my chufa fields. I still put in my millet and Sudan and my sunflowers, and I plant my plots for my whitetails. Why manage your property for just one game species when you can be benefiting all of them? The pollinators as well, you know, the insects too.
And for those listeners who might not understand, this wildlife management practice, all of these things that we do to benefit wildlife, of course we love to hunt. Of course we love to kill game and take it home and eat it. But all of these efforts also benefit non-game species, songbirds and other species of animals that we don't hunt. So it's all good for everything.
Yeah, I mean, right now we have some high variety mixes that are getting ready to burn out from this past year. It's full of vetch and everything you can think of. We had a mix last year that had about 12 different seed types in it.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the understory of that is so thick and it's holding so much moisture that it's full of insects, it's full of frogs, the bees are all over the place. I mean, it's benefiting the entire ecosystem,
Absolutely.
From the insects all the way to the white.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Daryl. Interesting report. I appreciate your help, man.
Yes, sir. No problem. Y'all have a good one.
And we'll be right back with Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, guys, right after this. You're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show.
Buy at Brooks.com. For a limited time only, Brooks Chevrolet is offering 0% financing for 72 months on brand new Chevrolet Tahoe, Suburban, Equinox, and now the Traverse with seating for 8. Go online now and buy at Brooks.com. Visit our virtual showroom, open 24/7. Buy at Brooks.com and drive home your new Chevrolet with 0% APR for 72 months. Limited offer. Then come visit us at Brooks Chevrolet on Highway 43 North in Thomasville. And remember, when you buy at Brooks.com.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
This is Alabama's Great Days Outdoors, brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Here are your hosts, Alan White and John Felcher.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Alan White, along with John Felcher, and our next guest is Mr. Van Sams with the Mobile JCs, who actually work all year round to put on the largest saltwater tournament in the world. And it's coming up in just 2 weekends from now. And this weekend, first of all, we have the kids tournament. Tell us about the kids tournament.
Well, we do. First off, thank you for having me. Saturday, this coming Saturday, July 15th, will be the 59th annual Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. So for the past 59 years, a lot of people remember it as the Dyad or the Dolphin Island Young Anglers Tournament. But Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament will be coming up this weekend, and we're really excited. This is the best part about doing what we do is this kids tournament. Mm-hmm. It is so much fun to see these kids get a chance to go out there and fish with their parents, aunts, and uncles, and even people that, you know, family, friends, take them fishing and get to catch a fish and bring it to weigh in. It's the best part of what we do.
They really have a good time, and it's very economical. Tell us what it costs a kid to get in there.
It's $5. $5, and that goes to fund the Mobile JCs put on a Christmas shopping tour every year for underprivileged kids in the area. And so each ticket sold goes to fully fund that, which is a nice thing that we do to give back to the community. Tickets can be, you know, I encourage everybody to go out and buy tickets early. That way you can just come and weigh a fish. All of our ticket outlets carry the kids' tickets. Again, it's just $5. And
what do you do for the kid who gets to weigh in a fish if you bring
Wow. Each kid that weighs a fish in will get hot dog chips, courtesy of Golden Flake and Ziegler, as well as Bluebell ice cream. They'll get a certificate that said, hey, I fished the 59th annual Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. And, you know, we give away 90 prize packages, first, second, and third, for 30 species of fish, as well as we give away a master angler. So just like the big tournament, if a young angler goes and catches multiple and places in multiple categories, they have a chance at winning the master angler for the 59th.
And this this award ceremony is something to see in itself. I mean, you just don't just give these awards out the day of the tournament. Y'all have a...
Well, for the kids tournament, we do it immediately after the tournament.
But the master angler also?
They come to the awards banquet for the big tournament.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
That's what I was speaking of. I've been to some of these awards banquets, and those kids that win, you know, big time, they really get a big prize package.
They
and
do.
They make a big ceremonial deal out of it. Really, it's really good to see.
It is.
Nothing like
fun.
A smile on a kid's face when they do something like that.
If it doesn't make you smile, I can't help you.
And you don't have to have a boat. You can just fish. You can catch a catfish.
You can catch a croaker.
Weigh it in. Yeah.
You know, for the kids tournament, you can catch pretty much anything to come and weigh in. And that's what it's all about. It's we want to foster the competition side of it as well. But really what the whole purpose of this tournament is to build anglers, is to continue to add to anglers to doing what we like to do. We love to enjoy the outdoors. We love to hunt and fish, and this is a way to get people involved, get kids involved early so that they develop a lifelong love for fishing.
Probably the best $5 you'll ever spend.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about your big event coming up. Tell us what's going on.
Well, needless to say, it's right around the corner, 8 days away, I guess. I'm kind of losing track of days. It's been busy, needless to say. July 20th will start kind of the festivities for the 84th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo with the Liars Contest. I know you guys will be down there as well.
Yeah, so they don't let us in because we're professional.
You're professional, yeah. Yeah. That's why we're getting Alan to judge it. He knows it. He knows the tail when he sees one.
I've been prompting him for the last 6 years on how to detect lies.
I'm getting pretty good at it.
Getting pretty good. Well, we'll kick that off. The Liars Contest is always a lot of fun. We'll have a local musician, Wes Loper, and his band come down and play for us, and we'll be doing some special things throughout the night as well, kind of in between the stories. And it's just a lot of fun. It's family-friendly environment. You know, bring the kids, bring the family down to enjoy it. And then 5 a.m. Friday morning, those on Dolphin Island will hear the cannon blast go off, and that's the official start of the 84th ADSFR. And so we'll be going at it all weekend. We're just hoping the weather holds up, and from what it looks like, we're well on our way to having a nice weather for both the kids' tournament as well as the rodeo.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think you guys are the oldest or one of the oldest on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, I mean, we are the oldest from everything that I have seen. We started in 1929. The only times that we've taken off have been during World War II and the 2010 oil spill. So this is our 84th tournament, but we've been around the tournament's been around for 89 years. It's something I'm proud to be a part of. I'm looking through the brochure and I see these lists of names of former presidents of the rodeo, and it's quite a extensive list all the way back to the 40s. The JCs took it over in the 40s, and then we've put it on ever since as a volunteer organization.
One of the biggest too.
Yeah, the largest. In 2011, we were deemed, given the official stamp of approval by the World Guinness Guinness World Records. And with 2,220 anglers, and the weather was terrible that weekend. We could have done better.
Well, you've got some great prize packages, too. I wish we had time to talk about all those. You got boats given away.
Absolutely.
War Eagles come on board.
War Eagle, Contender, yeah. Yamaha. Thanks to all them. Ray Marines giving us a great prize pack for both big game and speckled trout. Everybody get online, www.adsfr.com. Find us on Facebook. And check out our ticket outlets all over the Mobile Baldwin County area.
Thanks a lot for being here, Van. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for John and I today. We'll be back next week. I'm Alan White, along with John Felcher, and we're wishing you all a great day outdoors.